Our Bible reading today comes from
2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 17 or 18. I can't remember which one it was.
The end of the chapter.
When you run out of chapter, stop.
Rightio. Not a worry.
Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen.
The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is useless or in vain. This world is not the whole story. If this world was the whole story, we're pretty a mess. This verse that Paul puts in reminds us what he said in 1 Corinthians, of the reality that Jesus walked out of a grave, that what we're doing here is not all there is to it. And as I thought about this, all of us at various times have done something we really kind of don't like because we needed to get it done to have something better later. Okay, anyone want to go and sort that out? Think, oh, this, I just love going in there and cleaning that up. But we did. In fact, that one actually we palmed off on a YWAM. I thank you, YWAM. But then Lindsay was kneeling in that cleaned out space, putting another toilet in. Lindsay, do you love sitting on, kneeling on concrete, wrapping your arms around a secondhand toilet? Oh, no, that one was new. Just trying to thick wall through. Is that your favorite part of every day? Oh, thank God he is sane. Okay, but he did it. Why? So he could make Lenore cry. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. He did make Lenore cry for joy. She was happy. We also know that there were others who were able to come to church on Sunday and go, oh, if I need to go, I can go. It was for something else good, not the joy of that moment. Some of the things we do on this earth, we do for a later reward later on this earth, but we do for a heavenly reward. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. All this is for your benefit. Whatever happens to you in life, God can use it to build fruit, to build character in you. I'm rather a different sort of fertilizer. We don't get to choose that. Okay. Is revealing himself to others through you. So all that's happening, God is at work. We take that on trust. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outward we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. All right, these young people. Anyone think their bodies are working better than most of ours? Yeah. It's when you're young and a teenager, you think you're bulletproof, or you don't even think about it. Most of the time, most teenagers, their bodies work pretty good. When you get over 50, you realize it doesn't work quite as well. Some bits are not working quite as well. But does anyone want to go back to the wisdom that most teenagers have? Or are you happy that you've learned a little and your character's a bit better? God's changing our bodies that aren't so good into something a bit better and deeper and more useful. He's in that business. You see, when you go looking for opals and you dig them, do you find anything like that? You will never find one looking like that if you're digging in an opal mine. Unless someone dropped one there after it'd been out. See, opals look a little bit more like that when they're found. They have to be ground and all these processes to get them where they are. God's in the process of forming us into something beautiful, something good. That's what he says in this verse. But then we get to the main chunk of our message today. This lovely light verse. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our light and momentary troubles. I don't want to pick on names in this church, but is anyone, if you're looking, you doesn't feel like you're dealing with a light and momentary trouble? I could name a few names here that it feels relatively heavy, some of the things you're dealing with. Light and momentary isn't the first thing that comes to mind. But who wrote this? Come on, Lindsay, speak up. Who wrote that verse? Paul. Anyone tell, give me a couple of instances of things that happened to Paul. Shipwrecks, three of those, few floggings, others. He's the one that said light and momentary troubles. Oh, that makes it hard for me to palm it off and say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I found a modern quote that really made this one come to life. Oh, hang on. Before I get to a modern quote, our light and momentary troubles. So if our house... Oh, hang on, no. I've gone really... Can you get me back to where I was? Oh, nope. Okay. Lynn, please sit down and find the thing again. I pushed the wrong buttons. I was looking for the highlighter. One of those pictures there is a high-rise building looking flat. None of our houses look like that. We're pretty fortunate. You may have been in the situation where you've sat there with a loved one that's dying. That's pretty tough. We've never had to go through slavery. Thank God it's not still existing anywhere near in our country, basically. We don't live in conditions like that. There's some horrible stuff in the world. And what Paul said is still true. As I was saying, I found a quote that made me think of this verse. In the light of heaven, the worst suffering on earth, a life full of the most atrocious tortures on earth, will be seen to be no more serious than one night in an inconvenient hotel. That sounds a lot like Paul's verse updated in modern language. Who said that? Mother Teresa. Does she have any idea what suffering looks like? Yes. She spent over half of her life pulling the poorest of the poor off the streets of India and nursing them through the end of their days. She knows. So what does that mean for us? One night in an inconvenient hotel. Anyone want that hotel? We look at that and think, ooh, that's pretty yuck. No way I'd stay there. Well, why is anyone ever in a hotel? Well, because they're not at home. That's not their home. So you're there because you don't have a home sometimes. People stay in a hotel. So you would pick that previous picture, would you? By choice. They're traveling somewhere for a reason. So you stay in a hotel. Are we going now? Yeah, we're on our way to heaven. They don't have a home. Yeah, we have a home, but it's not here. They are escaping from something. Depending on what you're running from, that previous hotel may not be so bad. Their home has been destroyed. These are some of the reasons why someone might end up in a hotel. So that hotel, you think, oh, no way, no one would I want to ever stay there. No, but can I convince you? What if you've been serving for the last 3 months on the front in Ukraine? In winter, it's 2 degrees and sleet. You know what sleet is? It's sort of rain, which it's, you know, some bits are icy, but not quite. Kind of like a slushy falling on you. And you're sitting in a trench for the last 3 months. And you finally get a week's leave. And that's the first place you get out, and you get there on your way home. That's the only room you can find, but that's where you can stay for the night before you can catch the train the next day to get back to your family. Would you take the hotel, or you say, no, I'll just stay in the trenches? I think I'm going to take the hotel. If that's your house in Gaza, and it's -3 degrees and wind blowing, that hotel's suddenly looking better, isn't it? If your child has been abducted and is in slavery, and you've got a tip that they're going to bring your child there, and that's the room you can rent to be sitting in as a stakeout to find your kid that's been abducted into slavery, would you consider staying in that room for a few nights to try and rescue your kid? If you've been making bad choices over the years and are drug addicted and so messed up, that's why you might end up in a hotel like that, because this bad choice led to this one, that you're an addicted junkie and you can't find anywhere else. There are reasons why people might end up in these terrible situations. Most of them are not our choice. Most of the situations that are horrific in our world today are not made by our choice. But they're not the end of the story. You wouldn't pick that hotel room. Oh, I'm looking for somewhere to live forever for the next 15 years. Oh yeah, I'll just rent this room and keep it like it is. No, you wouldn't. The worst things that happen on earth, God is saying, they're not the end. If you call out to me, I've got something better. And then I thought about it. Have any of you ever stayed in a hotel room, anything like that? Thank God we've never faced that. All right. But as terrible as that hotel room is, it's not the only inconvenient hotel that turns up. If you're traveling somewhere and you walk in and you pay at the motel and you walk in and the room looks like that, you going back to reception? Yeah. But if you go back into the reception and they're very, oh, look, I'm so sorry. I thought they'd even cleaned and our cleaner got sick and all that. You could apologize, help them change and whatever. It's not the room you'd pick. But it's not that bad, totally. You know what? When I think about my life, it's more like that room than the first room. Some of us, most of us, have never had anything quite as horrific as many people in the world. We've never had to face something like that. Then I thought about this guy. I'm making up a story here. He's a fly flow worker. Unfortunately, the room next door is someone playing loud rap music all night. Yuck. He's feeling pretty crappy. But he needs to keep that job to pay for his family and to get his kids through school. And he's having a bad week. And he went and told the management, and they said, yeah, we know that person's thing, and we're going to get him out of there. They've been evicted, but it's next week. We can't do anything till then. It's not as bad as that first room, but it's pretty ordinary. Then I thought about it. That hotel room. What do you reckon? That one's not too bad? What if you're in that hotel room because it's the one close to the hospital and you're visiting your kid that's in palliative care? You could have the choice. That room with your kid in palliative care, or that room for a week and your kid's healthy. If you had that choice, I think I'd probably take the top room. We don't often get that choice. But the other point I'm making with this one is the shape of what is that inconvenient hotel room is variable. We don't face what they do in Gaza. But it doesn't mean some of the issues that each of you face aren't very real and painful and hurtful, and we need God's help to walk through them. So, what I am going to put up here is a list of thoughts I had coming out of this as to what helps me face up to whatever is making that inconvenient hotel room in my life at the moment, making that life substandard. This is not my final home. There is a home to go to with a family. So when I face something that I don't like, I ask myself the question, all right, this isn't the end of the world. There is hope ahead. Sometimes that's the thought that helps me get through whatever I'm facing. Sometimes I look for the good and consider what could be. That really yucky hotel room, if I think, yeah, that's better than being in a trench in Ukraine in the sleep. I don't like some of the things that are happening, but it could be worse. And that's one of the things that can help you face whatever. What can I do to fix that situation? If for some reason, whatever, I ended up in that first hotel room, you think maybe I'd go find a broom or a shovel and clean up a few things and make it a little bit better as to what I could? I mightn't be able to change which hotel room, but I might be able to do some things to make the particular situation better. In the situation what each of us is facing, they're all separate. With God's help, what can we do to be better? Talk to the management. If you're in a hotel room, you're going to talk to the management. You know, we pray. God, what is it you want me to do in this particular situation? Remind myself, yourself, you're on active duty in this season with a trustworthy commander. Imagine you're a policeman on a stakeout for a kidnap in that first hotel room, and you go and ring up, oh, no, I don't want to work in this one, I'm quitting. No, you'd probably stake out in that first hotel room because you want to save somebody's life. Sometimes the situation we're in, God's saying, yeah, I know it's pretty crappy. I know about crappy, he says. That's called the cross. But I know you're there, I'm with you. Hang in there. This is going to count for something. We don't have all the same roles and burdens. Thank God I'm not in Ukraine. Thank God I'm not in Gaza. Thank God I'm not in North Korea. And I don't mean that like the Pharisee that was praying in the... Well, it's not because I deserve anything, but God has placed us here. Lord, how do I live it here? And it reminds me, I was reading a book about World War I. And the fighter pilots in World War I, their airdromes were usually back behind the lines far enough that they didn't get hit by artillery. They would go out flying and they would come back and they would go into their mess, where they ate, and they would have, the pilots got really good food and they had a hospital nearby and their beds were soft and comfortable. It wasn't like the guys in the trenches, but you know who had the highest death rate in World War I? World War I fighter pilots. You know who had the highest rate of being taken out and sent back home with, they called it shell shock back then, but PTSD? World War I fighter pilots. Though on the surface, some of the aspects of what they dealt with was much easier than others, every time they got in a plane, the chances of them coming back were very, very high. Not coming back. And the stress of that was much greater than the soldiers sitting in the trench. The things we face, we have it way easier materially. But why is it that worldwide mental health is at 1 in 8? In our Western rich countries, it's 1 in 4. We face different issues. So I want to take a moment. As you think about your week ahead, think of your situation that makes your hotel room substandard. And I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider which of these tactics can help you face your situations this week. Not all of them work for all situations, and I'm sure there's others that I haven't thought of. But I encourage us to think, all right, every one of us here is facing some substandard situations. Bron and I can happily tell you, and we can tell you the stories of why it's good that our daughter in this situation, we see the good God's doing, but my goodness, we're not happy that our daughter's got to go regularly there, that she's had brain surgery. There's all these things that are substandard about it. We need to hang on to God in that. And my goodness, we've still got a lovely daughter living at home with us who's, there's lots of good things about it. I'm not doing a funeral yet. But it's a real situation. And each of you have got varying real situations in your lives. Remember the hotel room. What shape is it? And what's God's help in it? Bob By the way, if you happen to be in a season where your hotel window looks out and sees that, if your season is a good hotel, enjoy the holiday. Look to bring joy to others and refresh. No, it's not your home. And even if you're in the best hotel in the world right now, heaven is better. Home has other benefits. And you have a job to do. If you're in one of those good seasons, try not to feel guilty about it. Just thank God and value that season and allow it to refresh you before you do whatever else. So it finishes with, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We can't see heaven, but it's promised. We can't understand all the situations around, but we can trust God, who is unseen. Ooh, I should have put a capital G there. We can't see all God is doing, but he has promised God good. We can't see what didn't happen, but God is protecting us. We can't see our faults sometimes because we're blind and we're not looking. But his God is open to all who call on him and helps us fix our hearts. So as we finish this morning, I'll bring us with this prayer. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, we know there is a heaven ahead. There is a future that is better than we can possibly imagine. But in the realities of that yucky hotel room that we're in sometimes, or even if we're in a good hotel room and we forget about the reality of what home is, Lord, we need your help. We need your strength and trust to help us trust you and keep walking the direction you've got us. So, Lord, for each person here, whatever their hotel room looks like at the moment, I pray for each of us that you will help us have some picture of why where you've got us there, what the good of it is, and how we can serve you in that space and what we're meant to do, and to trust you for our final home. In Jesus' name, amen.